Good evening again. If you have a Bible, please open again with me to the book of 1 John. This morning we looked at the first three verses of chapter 3 and saw that as children of God, we have been empowered by the Holy Spirit to pursue Christ-likeness. And we pursue Christ-likeness out of gratitude for this rich love of God that has been bestowed on us in Christ. And we pursue Christ-likeness as we eagerly wait for Christ to return. And so this evening we'll be looking at the verses following that. So we'll be looking at 1 John chapter 3, verses 4 to 8 this evening. So let's turn our attention to the reading of God's Word, and I will be reading from the English Standard Version tonight, so it'll be slightly different from the Pew Bible. Everyone who makes a practice of sinning also practices lawlessness. Sin is lawlessness. You know that He appeared to take away sins, and in Him there is no sin. No one who abides in Him keeps on sinning. No one who keeps on sinning has either seen Him or known Him. Little children, let no one deceive you. Whoever practices righteousness is righteous as He is righteous. Whoever makes the practice of sinning is of the devil, for the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. And we'll end our reading there. Let's pray. Our God, we again thank You for Your Word. We thank You that You have given us the opportunity to be together tonight, to worship You. And Lord, as there are many people in this country tonight worshiping a false God, we praise You as the only true and living God. We thank You for the great salvation You have given to us in Christ. We pray, Lord, that You, Holy Spirit, would apply Your Word to our hearts for the good of Your people and for the glory of Christ. We pray this in His name. Amen. Excuse me. You may be familiar with a movie called The Bourne Identity. There are some of these movies. And I'm not necessarily condoning this film in its entirety, but if you've ever seen it, you'll remember the main character spends years of his life tracing his past, trying to figure out who he is. And this character, Jason Bourne, may have had a physical condition, amnesia. But sometimes I wonder why we sometimes act as if we have spiritual amnesia by forgetting who we are in Christ. You see, you can be deceived into thinking you're a believer, into thinking you're not a believer when you are a believer. And you can be deceived into thinking that you are still a slave to sin, when in Christ, that's not true. You may think that you just can't change. It's just who I am. This is what I do. And yet none of these things are true. None of these things. Maybe you've been deceived like this in the past, or maybe you're struggling with this very problem tonight. You see, Satan is out to deceive you and to get you to forget who you really are. Or maybe if you're anything like me, your own heart is out to deceive you as well. Maybe you've asked yourself a question like this before. How can I be a Christian and yet still be doing this sin? Brothers and sisters, it's possible to be deceived into thinking you're not a believer when in fact you are a believer. And this is the problem that the Apostle John is dealing with in our text this evening. And so as we look more closely at this, I'd like for you to see this is the main point. Stop being deceived. But remember who you are in Christ. Remember who you are in Christ. The first thing we notice in this passage is that you either practice sin or you practice righteousness, not both. In order to properly understand these verses, we need to realize that John is contrasting the two types of people in this world. Right? We have those who practice righteousness, and we have those who practice sin. Or as John also says, we have the children of God, and then we have the children of the devil. And Scripture uses other words, like we have light and darkness, the sheep, the goats, the wheat, the tares, and so forth. And so, as we look at this, we need to first recognize that when John is speaking of those who practice righteousness, he is speaking of the children of God. And when he speaks of those who are practicing sin, he is speaking of the children of the devil. And so we really need to keep that in our minds as we look at these verses. And nowhere in this text does it say that you can be both. In fact, the entire Bible testifies to this concept. You're either in Christ or you're not in Christ. As one of my professors in seminary likes to say quite often, you cannot be sort of pregnant. You're either pregnant or you're not pregnant. You can't be both. The same thing is true here. You're either a believer or you're an unbeliever. You can't be sort of both. One day I'm a believer, the next day I'm not a believer. That's just not biblical. In fact, verse 6 further explains this explanation. Look at that verse with me. No one who abides in him keeps on sinning. No one who keeps on sinning has either seen him or known him. And the point that John is making here is that you cannot be in Christ and be practicing sin, nor can you be practicing sin and claim to know Christ. And so you either are one who practices sin, an unbeliever, or one who does not practice sin, one who practices righteousness, a believer. But if we just read these verses, it can appear as if John is saying that believers don't sin. And yet that is not at all what he is saying. That is not what he is saying. Look back at verse 3. And everyone who thus hopes in him purifies himself as he is pure. If you remember from this morning's sermon, the children of God are not yet what we will be. And the key word is purifies. Believers are still in the process of purification. And so John is not saying that believers in Christ do not sin at all. And so we must keep this in mind as we look at these verses. John is merely making the difference between those who are governed by sin and those who are governed by righteousness. This is why most of our English translations use the phrase practice sin or practice righteousness. Those who practice sin have a sinful way of life. Those who practice righteousness have a righteous way of life. Doesn't mean it's without sin, though. Have you ever practiced playing tennis? Practiced the piano? What does that mean? It means you do it over and over and over to get better at it. You want to excel in that thing, whether it be tennis or the piano or whatever. Likewise, those who practice sin are doing it over and over to get better at it, so to speak. They don't want to live in righteousness. Whereas those who practice practice righteousness, do it over and over again in order to be growing in Christ-likeness. They don't want to live in sin. That's the difference between the two. And so either sin or righteousness is the dominating characteristic of your life. You're one or the other. And so, if you are practicing sin, then Scripture says you are of the devil. Look at the first part of verse 8. Whoever makes the practice of sinning is of the devil, for the devil has been sinning from the beginning. And in order to understand what John is saying here, when by makes a practice of sinning, we really need to look back at verse 4. Everyone who makes a practice of sinning also practices lawlessness. Sin is lawlessness. Lawlessness basically means living as if there is no law. When someone willingly engages in sin, that person is acting as if there is no law. He is defying God's law by saying, I can do what I want. God, you cannot tell me what to do. Moreover, lawlessness is the result of sin. It's not as if you become lawless by sinning, but rather lawlessness is the essence of what sin is. And so when someone is making a practice of sin, he is opposing God and rebelling against God and his law. Making a practice of sin is rejecting God's law and therefore rejecting God himself. Now look back at verse 8 again. It says that the devil has been sinning from the beginning. What a perfect description of the devil. The devil has always been in rebellion against God. He's been sinning from the beginning. It's all that the devil knows how to do. And so Scripture is saying that if you are living in rebellion against God and his law, then you are one who practices sin. You are one who is of the devil. And by saying that those who make a practice of sinning is of the devil, John is not saying that the devil is their creator or that they descend from the devil, but rather that they imitate the devil. They live a life of rebellion against the holy God, just as the devil does. Does this describe you this evening? Are you just here because someone else wants you to be here? Or you feel like this is your good deed of the week? Everyone else is watching the Super Bowl, but I'm at church. Why are you here? Does your life throughout the week reflect a life of righteousness and striving to be like Christ? Or does it reflect a life of rebellion and sin against God? Brothers and sisters, I hope this does not describe any of you this evening. But if it does, you must repent of your sins. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. And tomorrow may not even be here. And so if you have not put your faith in Christ, if you don't know Christ as your Lord and Savior, then you need to do that today. If you're unsure of what that means, talk to someone. Talk to an elder. I'm sure they'd be happy to do that. Talk to me. Now, for most of you, and Lord willing, all of you this evening, this does not describe you. And brothers and sisters, that is because Christ destroyed the works of the devil by taking away your sins. Look at the second part of verse 8. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. What are the works of the devil? Well, there are many things that we could ascribe to the devil. But there's one thing that undergirds all that he does: sin. Everything the devil does is sin. And sin is the reason he does everything. It is his job, it is his goal to get you to sin, to get you to live against God. Now look at verse 5. You know that he appeared to take away sins, and in him there is no sin. This is Christ. In Christ there is no sin. He took away sins. And these weren't just any sins that were taken away. These were your sins, the sins of his beloved children of God. They were your sins. They were my sins. In Leviticus 16, When's the last time you read from the book of Leviticus? In Leviticus 16, we read of the Day of Atonement. And on the Day of Atonement, there were two goats that were used in this service. One goat was offered as a sacrifice on the altar. And the other goat was the scapegoat. And so after the first goat had been sacrificed on the altar, the scapegoat was brought to Aaron. And he would lay his hands on the head of the scapegoat, and he would confess the sins of the people of God. And then they sent the scapegoat out of the camp, away from the people of God, to be destroyed in the wilderness. And this scapegoat was symbolic of the sins of the people of God being taken away by the future coming Messiah. And brothers and sisters, Jesus Christ is your scapegoat. Your sins were taken away from you and laid on him when he went to the cross. And by taking away your sins, Christ destroyed the work of the devil in your lives. He took away your sins so that you no longer will do what Satan wants you to do. And since your sins have been taken away, you are as righteous as Jesus Christ is righteous. Look at verse 7. Little children, let no one deceive you. Whoever practices righteousness is righteous as he is righteous. Think about your parents. We all were kids at some time. Think about your parents. There are probably a lot of ways in which you resemble your parents. You can think of these things in your own mind. You know what they are. I know what they are for me. But you did not become the child of your parents by acting like them, did you? Rather, you act like your parents because you are their child. It's who you are. And so what you need to understand here is that you do not practice righteousness in order to be righteous. But rather you practice righteousness because you are righteous. In other words, you don't struggle against your sin to be righteous or to be good enough for God. But rather you struggle against your sin because you are righteous. It's who you are. And you want to live in righteousness. You want to pursue Christ-likeness because you are a child of God. And you have been given salvation. And this is who you are. And you're not just righteous in some abstract way. The text says you are as righteous as Jesus Christ is righteous. You see, when Christ was your scapegoat and took your sins from you upon himself on the cross, he in turn gave you his perfect righteousness through imputation. Whoever practices righteousness is righteous as Christ is righteous, or just as Christ is righteous, or inasmuch as Christ is righteous. Those would all be adequate translations. And so if you are in Christ this evening, you have the righteousness of Christ through imputation. You cannot make yourself any more righteous. By faith in Christ, the righteousness of Christ has been laid to your account as if you yourself had it. In Zechariah chapter 3, we read of Joshua, the high priest, who was clothed in filthy garments. And the angel of the Lord appeared to Joshua, and he took that robe of filth off of him and put it upon himself, and in turn gave Joshua a perfect, clean, sinless robe of righteousness. And that is prophetic of Christ taking away your robe of sin and giving you his robe of perfect righteousness. Do you realize who you are in Christ? Do you realize this? Yes, you still struggle with sin. But the point John is making is that the reason you are struggling with sin is because you are righteous. Christ's righteousness has been given to you. And so if you weren't struggling with sin, then you wouldn't be righteous. But your sins have been taken away. And now you want to live in conformity with who you truly are in Christ. So stop being deceived. But remember who you are in Christ. Look at verse 7 again. Little children, let no one deceive you. Whoever practices righteousness is righteous as he is righteous. At the time of writing this letter, the apostle John was having to deal with many antichrists who were trying to deceive the people of God. But John was trying to encourage the people of God and give them assurance that they are the children of God. Whereas the antichrists of the day were the ones trying to lead the people astray. They're trying to get them to believe that they are not Christians. And presently, you may not have particular people in your lives who are trying to deceive you. But what about yourself? What about yourself? Have you ever asked yourself, how can I be a Christian and still be struggling with this sin? How can I be a Christian and yet be so unloving? How can I be a Christian and yet still have lustful thoughts? How can I be a Christian and be so prideful? You fill in the blank. We could go on and on with these types of questions. And if you're anything like me, these questions are popping up in our minds way too often. And yet this is when it tastes so good to know that being in Christ is not dependent on your performance. Christ's righteousness has been given to you. You are righteous now, and so you practice righteousness. So stop being deceived. The way to keep yourself from deception is to remember who you are in Christ. So rather than focusing on yourself and focusing on your sins, focus on Christ. Turn your mind to Christ and His work on the cross. Because looking inwardly at yourselves and at your sins and your struggles, that will never, ever give you the assurance of salvation. But looking to Christ, remembering that He was perfectly obedient on your behalf so that His righteousness could be imputed to you, so that God the Father could look on you and see Christ's righteousness and say, you are innocent. I love you. You are mine. Focus on Christ. Remember who you are in Christ and do not let yourselves be deceived. The key is Christians do still struggle with sin. God has not promised to make you sinless in this world. You do struggle, but the difference is Christians are striving against sin. Christians are pursuing Christ-likeness and do not want to be living in sin. Struggling against sin is the fruit of being in Christ. It's the fruit of being righteous. And so you are righteous as Christ is righteous. And that is reflected in your striving against sin. Brothers and sisters, let's read verse 7 one more time. Little children, let no one deceive you. But rather, remember who you are in Jesus Christ. Remember who you are in Christ. Let's pray. Our God, you have given us a great encouragement tonight from your word. We thank you that as you look upon us, you see Christ's righteousness. You accept us because of Christ's obedience. You love us because of Christ. He has done it all. He is our great Savior. And Lord, we worship you for that. And we thank you for that. Lord, we thank you that as we struggle against sin day after day, that should be an encouragement. That our struggle is the fruit of being in you. Because if we were outside of Christ, we would not be struggling against sin. We would want to be living in sin. But as children of God, adopted into your family by the work of Christ, we don't want to sin. And so, Lord, help us to remember who we are in Christ. Help us not to be deceived, and forgive us of our sins. Lord, we thank you for Jesus Christ, our Savior, and we pray this in His name. Amen.